We continue our learning. We are in Gittin, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Beis. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that if a husband sends a shaliach with a get to his wife, so as long as that get has not she has not received the get, so the husband can nullify the get by either going to the woman herself or going to the shaliach himself, the shaliach laholacha. Our Mishnah is dealing with a case where the husband nullifies the get not in front of the woman and not in front of the shaliach, but rather in front of other people. So Barishona Haya Oseh based in Mamakom Acher Mavatlo, originally what the husband would do, we would allow him to set up a Beis Din, establish a Beis Din, gather people together as a Beis Din in another place, not in front of the shaliach, and not in front of the woman, Umavatlo, and he would nullify the get before the get arrived in her hand if this is something he wanted to do. Now, how many people, this Beis Din consists of how many people? So according to Rav Nachman, you only need two people. Although generally a Beis Din is three, sometimes you have in the Gemara that a Beis Din consists of two. At the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, the Gemara speaks about a Beis Din being called a Beis Din even if it's two, and the reason why two is sufficient according to Rav Nachman is because no one's judging anything. Here we simply need the Beis Din to be informed that the husband wants to nullify the get, and that would be sufficient. Rav Sheshis disagrees with Rav Nachman. It says no, a Beis Din here means what it usually means. It means three people. Why do we need three? Because only when there's three do we assume there's going to be a kol, it's going to be publicized. We want it to be publicized so the wife hears that in fact the get is batel. She doesn't remarry based on this get. So this is what the husband used to be able to do, set up a Beis Din and nullify the get, not in front of the shaliach, not in front of the woman, but rather in front of this Beis Din. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken Shalo Yehu Osin Kain Bnei Tikkun Olam. Came Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken along and said, we can't do this anymore. Can't nullify the get in front of this of a Beis Din that you gather. You need a shaliach, or you need to go to the shaliach, or the woman herself, mipnei tikkun olam, for the betterment of the world, for the welfare of the world. What is the tikkun olam here? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Mipnei takonas mamzerim. Number one is to avoid having mamzerim, which means that we're afraid that if the husband nullifies the get in front of in another place, not in front of the shaliach, who's delivering it, and not in front of the woman, so maybe the shaliach or the woman will never find out that the get was nullified. She's going to remarry on the basis of the get, and her children are going to be mamzerim. So that's one possibility. Others say in the Gemara, Mnei Takanas Agunos. What's that about? What we want to do, we want to avoid women remaining as an aguna, unmarried, unable to be married, bound and unable to remarry. So why does this change matters? Well, if we make the Baal go through the tericha, that he has to go to the shaliach himself or to the woman herself to nullify the get, and he can't just gather a random Beis Din to make it convenient for himself to nullify the get, maybe he's not going to do it anymore. He'll say, oh, I'll have to schlep already to the woman and to the shaliach. I can't just gather a convenient Beis Din for myself. Forget it. Let her let the get go, and she'll be divorced. That's what we want. We want her to remain. We don't want to remain in Aguna. We want her to be divorced. The get should arrive there. Now, the Gemara says that those who explain that Rabbi Gamliel's reason is b'nei takanas mamzerim, which is we want to avoid mamzerim, not agunos, but mamzerim, that first reason. So this is, if that's the reason, so then how many people do you need? So there they hold that it's enough to nullify the get in front, it was enough to nullify the get in front of two people. So that was the concern. Meaning, since we go back to that machlokes, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis, how many people did the Beis Din consist of? So if you hold the Beis Din consisted of two people, so you can understand why there's a takanas mamzerim, why Rav Gamliel came along. Because he was afraid, since the Beis Din is only consisted of two, and that's okay to have two, so now what are we afraid of? It's not going to be publicized, The woman's going to remarry, and she'll have mamzerim. So that fits in very well, that reasoning. Fits in very well, the Takanas Mamzerim, with the opinion that held that the Beis Din that he used to be able to appoint was two people. The reason of Takanas Agunos, that was where the husband could nullify the get in front of three. There wasn't a concern of Mamzerim. Why? Because she would find out about it. Because the Beis Din is three, and as that's publicized. The problem is the other issue. He needed to make a takana because of Takanas Agunos. We don't want the women. That's still a concern, even if the Beis Din of three, if you can gather it very quickly, easy to gather a Beis Din of three, just as easy as it is to gather Beis Din of two. So if that's the case, they were still afraid of Takana Saguna. So even though the Beis Din consisted of three, there was a Tikkun Olam concern that Rav Gamliel HaZaken had. And that's why he said, no longer can you gather this Beis Din of three, because we're afraid she's going to remain an Aguna. If this way we want you to be able to divorce this woman, let the get go to her, and because it's such a schlep for you to try to nullify the get will take effect. Then the Mishnah continues, Barishona haya mishana shmo ushma shem iro v'shem ira. Meaning, it used to be the Baal would write on the get his name and his wife's name, the name of the cities, but the names of the cities where and their names, what they were called in the place where the get was written. Even let's say they had a different name in the place where the get was written as opposed to where they lived. So that's what they used to. So that really means Mishana Shmo Shma. They would change their name based on Shemiro or Shemiro v'Shemira, different than their particular city. So the Hiskim Gamliel Hazaken Sheyei Kosev Ish Ploni V'Chol Shem Sheyeshlo Ish Plonis V'Chol Shem Sheyeshlo. So he came along and made a takana, which is that you should write Ish Ploni, meaning his real name, in the place where the get is written. But that's not sufficient. You have to add on the phrase V'Chol Shem Sheyeshlo, and the same thing, the name of the wife in the place what she's called where the get is written. But since she may have be called by another name in the place where she lives, you have to add on the phrase V'Chol Shem Sheyeshlo. And that would be true. The same thing, let's say they're in their own city and they're called something else somewhere else. So you'd have to add on the phrase V'chol Shem Sheyeshlo Olah. Now, some say that's not what it means. It means it's like AKA. You have to write through not just this is the name they're called here and any other name that they have. No, you have to actually write the other name that they have. They have another name, AKA, otherwise known as, you would have to write that on the get as well. That's what we do in our getting. We write any name that the person may have that otherwise known as someone else. We have to write those names as well. Why is that? Mibnei Tikkun Olam. That is for the benefit of the world. What are we afraid? There may be lies. There may be a rumor that may go out and say, oh, she was never divorced. Why? What do you mean? Here's the get. Oh, that's not her name. We call her something else. So therefore, or maybe this is not the name of her city, the name of his city. So that's something else that was that also may be different. It could be that the name of the city is different. Where they are, where the writing of the get is, they call the name of the city where they come from, they call it something different. Right, what it means is Shemiro v'Shemira means that they're also afraid that maybe the name of the city that where they come from is called by a different name where the get is being written. So that's also something that has to be written, and any name, other name that city may have. So it's not just their names. It's the name of the city where they come from. You want to make sure that you're writing any other name that city may have. If that city has it, so according to one opinion, you have to write AKA the city where they come from, and it's also known as this name. And of course, we do that with their own names as well. But according to the first opinion, you're going to write the name of the city, what the name of that city is called in the place where they come from, one city. And now we're writing again in a different place. So you have to write the name of the city where they come from, whatever name it is in the place where the get is written, but add on the phrase, V'chol Shem Sheyeshlo, and any other name that city may have. Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. Ein Almana Nifras Minichse Yisomim Ela B'Shvua. So it means here is that this is another, this may be another Tikkun Olam, as the Mishnah said, as the Mishnah will say in a moment, which means that an almana, a widow, who now is going to collect her ksuva from the estate of the deceased husband, in order to collect from the Yisomim, from the Nechasim, the property of the orphans, of the Yorshim, of this estate of her husband, she has to take a shvuah. What shvuah? She has to take a shvuah that my husband hasn't paid me, your father hasn't given me any of the ksuva yet, I haven't paid any part of the ksuva, and I swear to that, and then they give her the ksuva value. Hiskin Rav Gamliel HaZaken, Nimnu LaHashbia. So what happened was, based in then, at some point, they said that she doesn't have to swear anymore. What was the issue? The issue was, she's going to be lying. She's going to take a shvua and she's going to lie. Why would she lie? Because she is taking care of the yisomim. Maybe she's their mother. Maybe she's their stepmother. But either way, the husband passed away. She's going through a lot of terechah. She takes care of them, watches over them. So she feels... she's morehet there and says, you know what, I know my husband really gave me part of the ksuva already, but I really deserve more. So I'm just going to swear falsely and say, no, my husband never paid me any part of the ksuva. Your father never paid me any part of the ksuva. I swear to that. Now, maybe he did, but she feels she deserves more because of all the work she's doing on their behalf. So therefore, in order to avoid a shvua sheker, the Chacham decided that she doesn't take the shvua anymore. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, so here is this takana. Shetehein no deres li yisomim kol shma sheyirtzu. That instead of a shvua, whenever the yisomim mourn, they can make her take a vow, a neder. Neder is different than a shvua. People are more strict when it comes to a neder. And what she's going to say, let's say she says, you know, konam alai pri ploni, this may sound familiar from Nedarim, I prohibit this particular fruit upon myself, im kibalti miksuva siklum, if I collected any part of my ksuva. That we're going to allow. Now, why are we not afraid she's going to take a vow and she's going to violate this? Maybe she's going to lie. Vegovik suvasa, based on this, she's going to collect her ksuva. So the Yishalmi says, because the fear of Nedarim is more than shvuas. And others say, no, I'll tell you why. Because she prohibits this food that she normally eats. So then every moment she eats it, she remembers this food should really be usher to her based on this neder that she just took. So they started out with a shvua, sure, the almana had to take to collect her ksuva, a shvua that she didn't collect anything yet in the husband's lifetime. Then they got rid of that shvua because we were afraid she was lying, she was more a heter. Come Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin to say, no, she has to take a neder. The neder we allow her to take, and the Yisomim can make her take this neder whenever. And she collects her ksuva at that point. Ha'edin chos ben ala get mini tikkun olam. Another halacha for tikkun olam. The edim, we have edim sign on a get. Why? For the benefit of the world, for the welfare of the world. Now this sounds like Rabbi Elazar's opinion, which is Ede Misira Kar. See, the Edim who watch the get being given are the ones who cause the severance of the divorce, because it sounds like here that the only reason you need Chasimos, you need people signing, is because of Tikkun Olam. It's just Midrabanan, just for the benefit of the world. What's the benefit? So we're afraid that the Edim Misira may die, or they'll be overseas. The husband will now contest the validity of the get and say it was forged. And we won't have any way, we won't have any signatures on the get to verify the signatures. And the Edim Misira are not around for us to say, hey, weren't you there to watch the get being given? So therefore, we want Edim written on the get, just in case the husband comes and as Ma'arer contests the validity of the get, we can hopefully verify the signatures here. So that's the way Rabbi Elazar would learn the Mishnah. We mentioned this in the past. According to him, Midoraisa, you don't need people signing on the get at all. Midorabanan, it's for the benefit of the woman, so that the husband cannot contest that it's forged. And others say in the Gemara, Rabbi Meir would agree with this Mishnah, that Eide Chasim Akarasi, and the reason why the Mishnah says, Eide Mechos Men Ala Ged Menitin Ka'olam, it means that normally when it says, Rabbi Meir says, Midoraisa, all Edim have to do is sign and say, I testify that this get was written. I testify to this fact. So if that's all they do, so they have two Edim, Midoraisa, that's fine. What's happening here is that they would sign their names. Now we assume, of course, they sign their names. That's not true. That's Midorabanan. In fact, they have to write their full name, and so that now we can come back to these people. We recognize signatures. So that is all Midorabanan. But Rabbi Meir holds Eide Chasim Karsi never meant that, according to one opinion of the Gemara, never meant that they had to actually write their names. They just have to sign, I was here, I saw this get being written, and that would be sufficient. So the Tikkun Olam Midrabanan is that they have to actually sign their names. And finally, Mishnah says another halacha because of Tikkun Olam, Hillel Hiskin Prosbol Mibnei Tikkun Olam. Hillel Hazakein realized that people were not lending money because they were afraid that Shemitah would come comes the seventh year, the end of the seventh year, so all loans are canceled. So people weren't lending money. So because of that, Hillel made a takana that we should have a prusbul. This is where you write a shtar, that the Malva is basically giving this loan, the debt, into the hands of Beis Din, and that way that avoids the issue of money being collected. So this was also Tikkun Olam. we're not trying to do harama to be deceptive when it comes to the laws of Shemitah, so that loans can't be, or when Shemitah says loans are canceled, then I'm trying to avoid that. The idea here is there's a greater benefit, which is that we lend money. Where does the word prosbo come from? Some say it is a Greek word, which is short for prosboliboti, which is Bezdin taking, which is a word which means that Bezdin takes a charge that a person, people are not harmed at all. And that's one explanation. And some, the Gemara says that it's made up of the following three words. Prosbo is like pros, boli, or boti. It's that pros is like a takara, boli are ashirim, and boti are aniyim. And in fact, it is a takana for both aniyim and ashirim. It's a takana for ashirim that they get their money back, and takana for aniyim that they'll have people who are willing to lend them money.